Father, we just thank you again for this moment that we have to share the word again. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for helping us to know how to praise you and to worship you, to lift you high, Lord God, above every other thing in our lives, to give you the glory and the praise that you deserve. For you deserve all praise, all honor and adoration. For there is none like you. Give us that revelation. Give us that understanding. Help us not to take for granted the liberty of worship. Lord, help nothing to touch our liberty to worship and to praise you. Lord God, rather, help us, Lord God, to bring everything, Lord God, to worship you and to praise you with all of our hearts. To sing unto you, Lord God, from the bottom of our hearts. To praise you and give you the adoration that you deserve. Lord, we worship you. Lord, just thank you again because you are the living word. Yes, you are the one that has given us life eternal. Indeed, the word, the scriptures speak of you. Lord, come and reveal yourself unto us. Unveil the scriptures unto us. Let them reveal you. You alone and who you are to us and all that you have done for us and how we can walk in the reality of these truths. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you because you are the faithful God who will help us. You are the one that is at work within us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you because even in this place, you give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the true God, so that now the eyes of understanding will be flooded with light. We will know better the hope of your calling upon our lives, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us as saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power, which you wrought in Christ just when you raised him from the dead. In the exalted name of Jesus, thank you, because you will do great and mighty things. You will open the eyes of understanding. We'll behold wondrous things out of your law. Thank you again, because indeed you will renew our minds. You will transform us. You will take us from where we are to where we ought to be. Thank you, because you will indeed, O God, guide us into all truth. You show us things to come. You will lead us not into temptation. You will deliver us from evil. For indeed, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. We pray as I duck under the crown of fathers that the, O Lord God, the anointing upon the head will flow down the bread. O Lord God, resting upon me. O Lord God, helping me to receive the word, O Lord God, Father, and with all purity, to be able to communicate the same thing effectively and with understanding, and to cause the people that are listening now and online, on site, online, and they'll be listening later, to receive it with meekness and lowliness of heart, to hear what the Spirit is saying, and to be empowered by your mercy and grace, and in all boldness, to be doers of the work and not hearers only. So let your kingdom come, let your will be done. We come against every spirit of distraction, every spirit that seeks to steal the word, every spirit of dishonesty and pride, every spirit of worry, agitation, every spirit of stubbornness and rebellion, by whatever they are called, contrary to effective delivery, communication, and reception of this word. We cast you out, we take authority where we resist you, we bind you, we break your hold and influence, we loose the angels of God to minister for us. God's perfect will in the presence of God, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, I give God the glory. I do not take it for granted. I give God the praise for joining mercies and to be able to be here with you in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, like I said, there's nowhere like home. You know, irrespective of where you are and what you're hearing, you know, your lovely faces, I've missed your faces. But, you know, it's always wonderful. It has always been a wonderful thing to be able to join online to hear your the times in the presence of God, you know, the word from Prof, you know, the times of interaction, the praise and worship, you know, indeed, there's nowhere like home. Okay, yeah, so let's go straight into the word. I believe there's something God has laid upon my heart. And when you hear these things, even if you're not going through, you'll be able to identify with it. You know, that's one thing I always pray to God about, what God is saying to us in Zion's Fellowship, what he has for each and every one of us as young people, as young adults. You know, even if you're not going through it, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. So never discard any word that you hear from this place. You know, by his grace and mercy, we operate under a prophetic and apostolic ministry in Pastor and Mommy. You know, and so we don't take it for granted. So we know that the same grace rests upon us. So even if you are hearing something that seems, am I really going through it? Does it apply to me right now? Let me tell you, the word of God, the Bible says in 2 Peter, 1 Peter actually, that it says we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, so let me tell you, God is showing you things to come. It's either you're going through it or you're going to come, you're going to need that word. You know, God will never allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. He will never give you and waste time, waste your time, or waste his own time, or waste resources. So, of a surety, you are needing it right now. I'm not God, you know, but I know that the word that comes forth, it is not by accident, because we pray before we receive this word and before we come and communicate these things. And God will just drop a simple word and then blow it. And then you know he's God, you know, and then he also confirm it. And then you know he's God. You know, and then in the lives of people and the testimonies they have afterwards, he confirms, I know he's God. Do you understand? And so it's something that you should always be aware of. It's something I have learned to do. You know, that the word is prophetic and the Holy Spirit is showing you things to come. And when you need it, you must be ready and keep it in your heart. So when the test and the or the trial or the need comes at that point, that word is alive in you and then it solves that problem. Are we together? And so the thoughts and the word that Lord did lead upon my heart is an anchor for the soul. Say an anchor for the soul. An anchor for the soul. An anchor for the soul. I know you will agree with me that everybody, you know what an anchor is? You know, an anchor is this thing they drop from a ship so that they can hold the ship in place. So irrespective of the torrents and the winds, you know, and the temptations and the storm, the ship still stays in place. Are we together? That's what an anchor is. And of course, you'll agree with me. And I'll tell you how this inspiration came. You know, you'll agree with me that at the times that we're living in, your soul needs an anchor. Do you understand? Whether you agree or you don't agree. Whether you are cocooned. Maybe you are still cocooned or you are still at home, you know, in, under your parents or you're still a local church. Whether, even by the news that you hear on TV, radio, social media, you know that you need an anchor for your soul. And the things that bombard our minds. And there are two particular people, you know, that bring this to mind and made me, you know, now have a title for the word. You know, God had been speaking with me, and I think I was just talking to Pastor Andrew a few days back, and about the things that we hear and the things that are happening, you know, in the world, in the economies, you know, in our nation, locally and nationally and globally. And so this person came to my mind, Lot. And so let's quickly go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you something about Lot. Even though today, the person that came to my mind was Joseph, you know, but this had been on my mind when I traveled about Lot. And so I shared with Pastor Andrew a few days back. 2 Peter chapter 2, you know, let's quickly look at it. I just want to quickly show you how it came. I like to always let you know how some of these things go, how God, the Holy Spirit, talks to us. You know, I can talk to you also. You must have the word for the Holy Spirit to talk to you. And so the first person I want to talk about is Lot. Verses 6, and it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to be overthrown, making them an example unto those who thereafter should live ungodly. In verse 7, and it says, and if he delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man, having dealt among them, seeing and hearing, and you know, this time is exactly the same things happen to us as young people. You are seeing and you are hearing. Are we together? Seeing and hearing was vexed in his righteous what? Soul. Hence, we are saying an anchor for our souls. You are going to need it. You are needing it. Or we are needing it. And you are going to need it in the days to come. Irrespective of where you are. Be it on campus. Be it during NYSC. Do it when you travel locally. Or when you travel out. If you have to travel out. Your soul needs to be anchored, and you need to have that anchor for your soul from now. Not when you get older, not when you're in your 40s, not when you're in your 50s. The earlier you know how to have an anchor and know what the anchor for your soul is right now, the better it's going to be for you. The surer it will be that you'll not have a shipwreck. You'll not have a shipwreck in Jesus' name. A shipwreck of destiny, a shipwreck of marriage, a shipwreck of, observe what I said, destiny was the first thing I said, purpose and destiny, which is to be like Jesus and fulfill your purpose in Christ. And then other things that hang upon it, marriage, career, gems and schooling, learning, research, all those other things that God has for you, you know, are supposed to rest upon that anchor. Because the things that are coming against us as individuals are coming against the world. We've never seen such, you know, but there is a solution. And what is that solution? The anchor for your soul. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So the earlier I start to know what the anchor for my soul is, I start to practice it. I start to get used to it. You know, a ship can have an anchor. And so that means that you can be a Christian and have an anchor. But if you don't know that you're supposed to throw the anchor into the sea, there's a problem. If you don't know that the anchor is supposed to hook up to something, there is a problem. So it's not by having the anchor. It is not by just throwing the anchor. It is by knowing how to use the anchor. Are we together? And actually making use and practically using the anchor, making sure that the anchor hooks to the rock or hooks to the bottom of the sea. Are we together? Because ships can have anchor, but they still have shipwreck. Sailors can have anchor, but if there is no rock for the anchor to hold on to, there will still be a problem. And that's why it says that you can be a hearer of the word, but if you are not a doer, That's a fool. He that hears and does, what? He's a what? Doer of what is blessed. That's what the Bible says. And so, finishing up with Lot. Since for thou righteous man, having dealt among them, seeing and hearing was vexed in his righteous soul day after day with their unlawful deeds. Then the Lord, verse 9, knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And so, Lot is an example. There's a section of people I'm talking to where your mind and your soul is bombarded right now, you know, by the things that you are seeing, by the things that you are hearing, you know, and when you see these things, it challenges you, you know. Lusts, temptations are coming against the minds of young people all around, you know, and so you know that you need an anchor for yourself, you need a solution. The second person, the second type of people I'm talking to are the Josephs, right? Let me say the kind of category of Joseph. So the kind of category of Lot doesn't mean that you're a Lot. You know, we don't pray that you have a destiny of Lot. But the Bible talks about as a righteous man, giving us an example and as a type of, in this case, young people that are being bombarded in their minds. Are we together? By ungodly things, temptations, what they see. I like how he says this. It's like what you see and what you hear. You see things on TV, you see things on media, you know, you hear things. You know, and so when you see this thing, you hear these things, it bombards your mind because it's not something that your mind and your soul is actually made for. And so when these things come against you, you are looking for a solution. And how God, the Bible says, God knows how to deliver righteous lot. The second person I had in mind that inspired this title is Joseph. Say Joseph. And you see, Joseph was in the prison. And the most important thing, the part of it that touched me and reminded me of this title is Genesis, let's see, Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. Give me Genesis 41, 1. And so I have two kinds of people, like I said, people going through that challenge of bombardment, tests and trials and temptations, you know, coming against their mind, you know, badly. And you're asking, is there a solution? And then there's the kind of people that you've been doing this thing. And then the test, your own test is a test of time. You're about to give up, you know, and God is saying, don't give up. Hold on. And so you see about Joseph in Genesis 41, he said, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And you see, you have to understand where that 2 full years is, or it's coming from. Joseph had been in prison. He had given the dream of the butler and the baker. Are we together? And both had been fulfilled. But the butler forgot about Joseph. Do you understand? And then the next verse, the next chapter tells us that after 2 full years, Pharaoh had a dream. Are we together? And when Pharaoh had the dream, that was when the butler now said, oh my God, hold on, Shanu, I had a guy I promised 2 years ago. Imagine helping somebody and you tell him that, ah, guy, when you come out, don't forget me, oh, you know? Well, 2 full years passed. And it's at the end, around after those 2 full years. Think of it now. What year are we? 2023. And 2021 or 2025. God forbid. Do you understand? And so when you're thinking of that kind of thing, you'll be wondering, when you put yourself in the feet, say, am I going to wait for 2025 for some things? I didn't say that. I'm just letting you picture this thing, how Joseph had been in prison and the truth, the dream was interpreted. And so the point I'm trying to make is this. See, you might be in a state where there's something you're expecting. We are coming to the end of 2023. There are hopes that you've had. There are dreams, you know, that you've had. First, of course, I expect that your number one hope is to become more like Jesus. You want to grow spiritually. You want to get better in your walk with God. You want to love Him more. You want to fear Him more, you know. And then you have other hopes, maybe natural hopes. Of course, we've talked about these hopes before, you know. And so maybe you haven't seen it. We are in October. Now, just a few weeks to the year, end of the year, 2023. And so you might be asking yourself, this thing, is it worth it? Has it been worth praying? Has it been worth reading the Bible? Has it been worth coming to fellowship, coming to church? You know, you might be checking your heart and you might be checking your life and expectations. You know, you might have had scriptures that had promised you certain things, you know, and then you are checking whether has it been worth it. I want you to know, like Joseph, stay sweet. Do you understand? Remain consistent. The Bible never told us that Joseph backslid, or else the story would have been cut short. You know, but after 2 full years, yours might be 2 days, 2 months, you know, maybe 2 quarters of the year, I want to stay committed and consistent. Are we together? Like Joseph, when the challenges come. Joseph had an anchor for his soul, and that was why he did not draw back. That was why he did not backslide. That was why the story did not end there. That was why he wasn't causing problems and getting agitated and getting angry in the prison. You know, people talk about these mental health issues and challenges. Yes, people go through those kind of things. But he didn't start causing tantrums in the prison. He didn't get offended. You know, he didn't get angry. He didn't get bitter, or the story would have ended. Are we together? He didn't say, I'm not doing it again. This God, this dream I had at the age of 17, is not even possible. It's not coming alive. Are we together? So he remained consistent. He remained sweet. Yes, there were those challenges where he had an anchor for his soul. So those two people are those people that have, by his mercy and grace, I believe God is talking to here. The people that you're bombarded, there's a pressure on your mind, you know, from temptations. There's a pressure on your mind by the things that you're hearing, you know, the things that you're seeing, you know, that you're facing. So these are facts. They are reality. You are facing sense-wise in school, at work, you know, in your room, at home, you know, in the community, in the nation. I don't know what they are. You know specifically. Or you're a kind of person that you've been in waiting and been hoping, you know, believing, and then it hasn't seemed as if it has materialized and come. I want you to know that God is still in the process. You know, and God is about to launch out and about to answer you. And so he says, an anchor for the soul. What is an anchor? We say it's a heavy metal attached to a cable or a chain and is used to hold a ship, you know, to the bottom, you know, so that it doesn't get tossed to and fro. And so I have some things here. I'll just quickly go through the line. You know, the thing that confirmed this word again was that I never tell them what to sing during worship and praise, you know, but they picked that core word, which is the one I want to really start with. This is the core thing that you must all take away from here, and which is Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And they were saying, we enter the Holy of Holies. We enter by the blood of the Lamb. We enter to worship He who is holy. All right? For your name is holy. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to take this with you. As we continue in this year and as we continue in your walk, because the Bible says, even the youth shall faint. You know, for those that wait upon the Lord, they will do what? They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run, they will not be what? Weary. They will walk, they will not faint. I don't want you to be weary. Don't run in this obtaining of the prize that God has for you. This promise, you know, of becoming more like Jesus, of growing, of thinking like Him, this promise of believing, you know, that you can be who that God has destined you to be. Are we together? And in walking in the Spirit, walking in love, these things, walking in the Word, don't be weary, don't be tired. We are approaching the last quarter of the year, and so you need that finishing grace. And that's why God is strengthening you and encouraging you. God doesn't want you to draw back. Let me tell you, you can be smiling at me, but you might have drawn back in your mind. The drawing back, really, because the real battle is in your soul, is in your mind. And so you must check yourself that, have I drawn back? God is giving you another chance. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but you know what? He will rise again. Are we together? And so God is strengthening. What God wants to do is to also strengthen our ankle bones so that wherever we've been weak, wherever we've been weary, wherever we've been getting tired, God wants you to remain strong. Are you together? And cross the finishing line into 2025. In the name of Jesus. And so let's see this. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me go straight to it. Okay. Good. Hebrews 6, from 16 to 20. It says, for people swear by something greater than themselves. And so God, you see, God is trying to encourage us with His word and strengthen us, like for Joseph in that process, like I told you, or for Lot in that something coming against him. Against his soul or against his mind. It says, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, how many heirs of promise do we have here? How many heirs of promise do you have here? An heir is an inheritor, you know, of promise. Heirs, the Bible says that we are heirs of God, heirs with Christ. And so it says, the heirs of promise, the unchangeable character of his purpose. He guaranteed it with an what? Oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have what? Strong encouragement to hold fast. to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is he talking about? First and foremost, I want to, you know, I was asking you whether you have an anchor, whether you know you have an anchor. And there's a question I wrote, well, I penned down here. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that wanted me to ask you. For every promise that you have in life, do you have a scripture to base it on? Think about it. For everything that you have desired, for things that you desire, for dreams that you have, for hopes that you have, do they have scriptural foundations? Have you ever thought and sought for the scripture that guarantees and holds and promises that the fulfillment of that hope and dream? It's a food for thought. And it's something you need to start practicing. Yes, by inspiration, an idea, a thought and a desire can come. One thing that helps you to filter whether it is in God, in line with God's will, or whether it's of God, is that there will be always be a scriptural basis for that desire, for that dream, for that hope. Are we together? And for that thing to last, as we get to say at the end, for that hope to stand strong and to be able to face the times, like you've seen in the life of Joseph, you know, it must have a scriptural basis. Are we together? It must hang on the scripture, because the scripture itself is the anchor that we're talking about. Are we together? It's part of the anchor that we're talking about. Do your dreams and your hopes have foundational in scriptures? Do they have scriptural strength and scriptural basis to hold the test of time, to face the challenges that come, to face the challenges like Joseph? Joseph's challenge was to wait. Joseph's challenge was he had to wait 2 full years, 2 extra years. Can your dream and your hope and your desire go through that test of waiting, that process? Are we together? And like for Lot that we talked about, can your hope and your dream, your stand for righteousness and holiness and truth and purity, stand the test of the antagonists and the winds that come against you and the pressures of the time, the prayer pressure, the sin pressure that come against your mind? If they can't, then there is a challenge. If they can't, then God wants you to quickly restructure. God wants you to quickly go back to the drawing table. God wants you to quickly get into the Word and have the Word as the anchor for your soul. Are we together? Because the trials will come where is your time is going to be tested, whether you can stand the test of time, whether you can stand and be patient, whether you can still remain consistent in the face of, I haven't gotten what I desire or what I've been waiting for. It hasn't come. Or, right on the other hand, there are attacks against the mind, like for Lot. There are attacks against the will, against the emotions. There are attacks against your hope and your dream. So you have two people like that, two types. And so as we get to see, the Word, and it's showing, that's what he's saying here in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 6, that God has sworn that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, what he has sworn by and what he has made, you know, as an anchor for our soul is the Word of God. It's the person of the Lord Jesus. He has gone ahead. The fact that Jesus has gone ahead is a guarantee that we have made it. Are we together? He has gone ahead. He came down. He faced the same challenges. He became man. Then he went up so that we too can be where he is, so that we too can experience what he's experiencing and what he has. He didn't just get it for himself. He got it all for us. Are we together? But you see, it's one thing to be able to say, to be saying these things. It's another thing that are we really experiencing it? Is another thing that, do we really believe it? See, because culture and times will shake these things and test these things. Do you really believe the Word? And guess what? It is that word God has put above his name. God has not put angels or miracles above his name. What God has magnified, if we can get that scripture, Psalms is in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalms 105. It's that God has magnified his Word above his name. So that's why you have to be a person of the blood, of the Word, and of the Spirit. You have to be a person of the Word and of the Spirit, because God himself could not swear by any other thing but by himself, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie. And that's why I'm saying that all your dreams and your desires, they must all be wrapped around the word of God, what the word of God has promised. Because God has magnified that word above his name. Do you understand? God cannot go against that word. God has sworn by himself. And guess what? That word is right beside him in the person of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is the living word. Are we together? Are we together? So that's why we're talking about this thing, about the things that we are facing and the challenges that we are facing. What is the solution to these challenges that we are facing personally? What are the solutions to the challenges that we are facing community-wise, socially? What are the challenges that we are facing nationally? What are the solutions to these things globally? What are the solutions to the challenges that we are facing, like we're talking about Lot and Joseph? It's the word of God. It's all in the word of God. And so let's go on and quickly run through. So the anchor has been a symbol of hope among Christians since the days of the early church. The anchor metaphor emphasizes what? Stability and safety of Christ as our hope. Stability. You know, I think a few months ago we talked about wisdom and knowledge shall be what? The stability of our times. God wants us to be stable. He doesn't want you to be worried or agitated by the things that you hear about the forex, about price of petrol, about these things are happening. Are they happening? The price of gas, you know, price of diesel, price of transportation. Things are happening. Are they happening? You know, but let me tell you, even in the midst of all that, God wants us to remain stable. Do you understand? The way your mouth will not war off, you know, or run riots, or you start saying what you're not supposed to say, is when you have an anchor. Do you understand? If your soul doesn't have an anchor, you see yourself complaining and seeing that and thinking that and feeling that you have a right to complain, and complaining will be a natural thing for you. That it's okay to complain. After all these things are happening now. See, these things are global. And I just came back from a trip. The things are global. Their own problems are different from your own problems, but it's the same problem. Do you understand? Their own problems, they might be having light, they might be having water, but there's problem more. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why I'm bringing this word, so that you don't feel that it's by moving there. We've been saying it. That is the solution. You must have an anchor for your soul wherever you are. You must learn to use the anchor wherever you are, in any situation that you are. So wherever you find yourself, the anchor still holds. Are we together? And people can come on your ship, and you can take them and help them to purpose and destiny. Are we together? And that's why you are hearing this. God is strengthening your head and showing you things ahead. So the anchor metaphor emphasizes stability and safety of Christ as our hope. And let me just establish this before we go on. I know I mentioned this, but your number one hope as a Christian should be Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, this thing is not English. It's not terminology. When we're talking about hope a few months back, we're talking about three kinds of hope. We talk about the hope of becoming more like Jesus. Your destiny as a Christian is to become like Jesus, to think like Jesus. It's not, it's not a Zion City thought. It's not a Zion City idea. It's not a Zion City they want to be different kind of thing. No. The hope of God for all Christians all around the world that has always been, that is, and that will always be, is to become like Jesus, perfection and fullness. Is to think like him, is to grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Are we together? It will not change. It is not changing and it will never change. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is not a Zion City thing. It is a church, God, body of Christ desire. Do you understand? Anybody and everybody might not be talking about it, but everybody is going to come to that reality. Right? Until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect and unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, eyes is going to open and everybody is going to start running after it and running for it. Because they will know that at the end, the solution to the problems that we have on this planet is to become more like Jesus. The person that predicted it, I was thinking of it a few days ago, the person that predicted that there will be wars and rumors of wars, all this that you are saying, the person that said that there will be pestilence, earthquake, is the same person that we are supposed to be like. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's the one that predicted it accurately and prophesied it accurately. And he is the only one that has a solution so that the desire of nations shall come. And you see, that desire of nations is in you. So the paramount and number one, I'm not saying the only hope, but the number one hope you must always have is to become more like Jesus. before you are married, when you get married, before you start work, when you start work as you're in class, the first number one thing you should always think about, that all those other things should hang on, is to become more like Jesus, because that is your purpose and your destiny. Are we together? Yes, the other hopes will come. I want to be a beautiful engineer. I want to be an excellent engineer. I want to be a perfect software designer, a software engineer. I want to be a beautiful musician. All those other things, they find their glory in your number one hope of becoming more like Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? In integrity, in purity, in wisdom, in ability. All those things, the Bible says, in him I hid what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you are thinking of becoming more like Jesus, you'll be thinking only on things that are true. You'll be thinking thoughts of excellence. You'll be thinking thoughts of being head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. You'll be thinking thoughts of purity. Are we together? And those other things, they will have influence and effect on these other natural things that we've always desired. And hopes and dreams that we've always desired. Are we together? Are we together? And so in Hebrews, the writer describes this hope as an anchor, that it is firm and secure. NIV says firm and secure. He talks about this hope. He says that it is sure and steadfast in ESV. In NLT, he says that it is strong and trustworthy. A ship's anchor allows the vessel to remain what? Fixed and unmoving, regardless of the conditions at sea. Our faith in Jesus Christ keeps us from becoming like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Give me Ephesians 4:14. And say, the devil's moves is for you to be like a scalar quantity. You know what a scalar quantity is? What's a scalar quantity? Huh? I can't hear you. It doesn't have magnitude. No magnitude, no direction, no purpose. You know, that's it. Ephesians 4, it says, that we henceforth be no more what? Children, tossed what? To and fro, and carried about with what? Every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? Deceive. The way a person can be tossed to and fro is by deception. Easily, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Give me James 1:16. James 1:6. The reason why you need an anchor, you know, for a child, if you have the toy with you, you can tell him to quickly go to his mom. To go and look for the toy, or to go there, or to go there, or to go there. Toss to and fro. But an adult, you're trying to deceive me or gami. You understand what I'm saying? So you must have an anchor for your soul, and an anchor for your soul comes with growth and maturity. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a what? Is like a what? A wave of the sea driven with what? The wind and tossed. And so, you see, a ship's anchor allows the vessel to remain fixed and unmoving regardless of the conditions at sea, regardless of the conditions that you have on the planet, regardless of the conditions that you have in society, that you have on campus. You know, our faith in Jesus Christ keeps us from becoming like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So if you know how the wave of the sea, you go to the beach, how the wave of the sea moves. It is because of the wind. It's because of the magnetic pull of the moon. There are many things that are influencing it. It doesn't have purpose. It doesn't have its own determination. It doesn't have its own direction. It doesn't have its own will. It doesn't know what the will of the Father is. It's just moving to and fro. It's comparing itself. It's due to prayer pressure, due to the pressure of the times, it's here today, it's there tomorrow. It doesn't know what it is doing. And so just as an anchor stops a ship from drifting with the winds and currents, keeping our eyes on the glory, hope of glory. 1 John 3:1-3. 1 John 3:1-3. Give me 1 John 3:1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So you can see all these things that we're talking about is out of the Father's love. It's because God loves us. He doesn't want us tossed to and fro. He doesn't want us anchorless. He doesn't want us to have the anchor in the ship. And then when the challenges come, you're wondering, but that guy is a Christian now. You know, or you yourself, if you wonder, well, I'm a Christian now, but I love God now. Why is this thing happening to me? It is because you have the anchor. God loves you and knows that you have the anchor and has given an anchor. But God wants you to use the anchor. Says, so, but what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall do what? be like him, for we shall do what? See him as he is. Now, observe the number one hope and anchor he's talking about. The number one hope and anchor that God really emphasized and God is emphasizing out of love is that we are going to be like him. We are going to see him as he is. When I look into the mirror, I'm seeing Jesus. I'm seeing Taiwo Christ, Kende Christ, Chinedu Christ. Are we together? David Christ, Sarah Christ. Are we together? Because the reason why they call them Christians in the first place, never forget, is because they were like Jesus. They call them little Christs, Christians, Christ ones, ones like Christ. So God's dream has never departed from children, boys and girls, that are going to be like Jesus, irrespective of how you feel, irrespective of the challenges, and irrespective of how many times you've fallen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called what? The sons of God. As far as God is concerned, he's already prophesying, speaking by faith, that you are a son and a daughter of God, not just a child of God. Are we together? And it says, look at this. It says that he that hath this hope in him, he'll do what? Purify himself, even as he's pure. So your number one hope, your number one desire should always be to become more like Jesus every day. Are we together? More like Jesus. Observe, I didn't say like Jesus, but I said more like Jesus. That means that yesterday, today will be better than yesterday. Yesterday will be a baseline for today. Are we together? Today will be a baseline what? For tomorrow. More like Jesus. So you yourself, you are believing the best of yourself. You are hoping the best of yourself. You are never giving up on yourself because you become more and more and more and more and more like him. Are we together? So that's our number one hope. Now, the second one that we have an anchor, or we need an anchor for, is heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. Give me 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. People don't really preach heaven these days or preach it in the right perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, like we talked about the other time, so that many young people are not even thinking about, heaven. It's not even on their radar. You understand? They don't talk about it because it's not preached. More that is talked about are just the things of this world, the material hopes. You can be a startup. You can build your startup before you are 30. You can be a billionaire before you are 40. Then when you get to those, you see yourself, you now start thinking, am I really a billionaire before I'm 40? You know? So you need to have your hopes in the right perspective. And let that number one hope be a dictate. A dictator, or dictate the direction and the magnitude and direction of all other hopes. Are we together? And so, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. Go on, verse 17. For our light affliction, you see, the challenges that I might be going through, like Joseph, or like Lot, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal, what? Weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things that are, what? Seen. You know that there are things that are happening, that are seen, that you are hearing. But are the things which are not seen, which is the word of God. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Is that the last verse? Okay, anyway. And so, the only person that can protect and preserve us in these times is in Hebrews 12:2. Gradually coming to the end. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Give me Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right on the throne of God. The reason why we're talking about these things, the things that are coming against us. The only way we can survive, and not just survive, the only way we can overcome and thrive, and you can still prevail against the things that are coming against us. The Bible says how God knows how to deliver the righteous, the godly, out of the temptations that come against them, like righteous Lot. His soul was vexed. How God was able to save Joseph, even though he was there for 2 extra years, you know, he still came out and fulfilled his destiny. And so he says, looking, but the way is to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was what? Set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just like Joseph. Are we together? And that was what they had for Lot too. They said that to go to the top of the mountain. But of course, the guy was too lazy for that. But the point I wanted to make is looking unto Jesus. How can I look unto Jesus? He's the one that is the forerunner. He has passed through, like we're singing. He has passed through into the holy place, into the holy of holies. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's the one that is willing to help us. How can we look up to him that he it will affect our minds and it will be an anchor for our souls? Am I going to look for the face of Jesus or go and buy an image of Jesus and put it in my room? Is that how I'm going to look unto Jesus? No. How am I going to look unto Jesus that it will affect my mind, that it will save my soul, that it will strengthen my will, that it will strengthen my physical body, that it will help me not to give up, that it will help me to continue to run, to obtain, that it will help me to continue to walk in the Spirit, that will cause me not to be tired? That's what we're going to end with. And so, like I've told you, we have promises in the Scripture. And you should have Bible-based supported promises. You should. If there is a thought and an idea, look for scriptures that you will use as a shield, oh, my brother and my sister, for that promise that supports it. Are we together? Because it is that scripture that is going to, there's a word I'm looking for, it's going to shield it. It's going to keep it. It's going to keep it to the end for you to be able to fulfill it. It's going to keep it so that the wind don't toss it and blow it away. Are we together? It is the scripture. That's what I'm talking about. When you say, in him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. Christ is the word. When I say looking unto Jesus, we're not talking about looking unto somebody in space. Or maybe you're going to see a vision of him seated upon the throne. Oh, God bless you if you do that. But that is not the point. The point is the living word, the word of God. You know, is the one that is going to, it is through it you begin to see what he has said about you. It is that word that will begin to keep you alive when there are challenges, when the winds come, you know, when things are happening in the nation, that you will not be despondent or your soul will not be down. And I was reading, and you see, it's a daily thing that you must do. And that's why Prof and I, by his grace and mercy, we emphasize Bible reading. This thing I'm talking about today, part of it also came from my Bible reading. It says, God, have you forgotten me? Has God forgotten me? Then the guy said at the end, he said, hope in God, trust in God, lift up your head. He said, you know, David was very practical. He's another guy we should talk about because his soul was afflicted. God had promised that he was going to be king. Yet Saul was chasing him all around for years. Oh, he was living in caves. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you check out, when you think of those things, then you now wonder, what am I even going through? And then, you know, those scriptures all come alive. God, have you forgotten me? He asked the question, has God forgotten me? Then later in the verse, the Holy Spirit will remind him, say, he hasn't forgotten you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You might be thinking, has God forgotten me? If you don't read the Bible, then you will not know that people face the kind of challenges that you are facing. And you will not know the kind of answers that they got to strengthen themselves and to get encouraged. Do you understand? When they are facing these kind of things, the anchor that they had for their soul in trying times, when there are financial challenges, when there are habit challenges, when there are challenges in different forms, how did people overcome? It was through the word. They were honest about it. They cried out to God. And then the Holy Spirit would inspire them. He would encourage them. He would strengthen them. He says, hope in God. Trust in God. Lift up your head. Why is your soul downcast? It won't happen by me laying my hands on you. Don't let me lie to you. Let me tell you news before it happens. It will come by you hearing this word, being motivated, and carrying your Bible every day. This thing I've made easy for us, reading my Bible, and you see that in everyday Bible reading, there's something that touches one aspect of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't, you'll be doing yourself a disservice. Are we together? You'll not be doing yourself a favor. And so let's end with this. We have promises in the scripture, and you should have Bible-based supported promises. Do you? Promises which will reinforce your hope. It will see, you will see that he binds himself with an oath. For that word is his oath. So that those who receive the promise should be perfectly sure that he will never change his mind. See, God will never change his mind about you and me, about what he has said about you. Now are we the sons of God. Do you understand? By his stripes you were healed. My God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. All those things, you wrap your promises, wrap your desires, wrap your hopes in the word of God, in the living word. Because it's a sure anchor, sure banker for you. And so you can see that God's word and his nature, they are rock solid. Says what manner of love this is, that the Father has called us the sons of God. They are sure, they are rock solid. He is trustworthy. It is impossible for God to lie. You can depend on him. We can take hold of the hope set before us and be greatly encouraged. Now, to just end in this 4 minutes, what are the things that we need to really make use of our anchor? I've emphasized the word. I'll continue to emphasize the word. And, you know, it's not going to be you and it's going to be up to you and me to begin to practice these things by reading the word. The other thing, of course, is the Holy Spirit. That's where praying in the Spirit comes. You can see that in Hebrews chapter 9. Give me Hebrews chapter 9. I'll just end with that. Hebrews chapter 9. See, as we live with the hope, and because we possess the Holy Spirit, is a guarantee that our hope is going to be fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 9. Give me Hebrews chapter 9, where it talks about we have come by the blood of the Lamb, and he has purged us by the blood. He has come by his eternal Spirit. He who gave himself by his eternal Spirit. You can quickly check that verse. Yes. Go to the verse before it. Let's see what's there. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. Next verse. How much more shall the what? Blood of Christ. And the reason why he talks about the blood of Christ is because the Lord just has entered into the most holy place as our high priest. You might be wondering, why can't the Bible talk about him entering? The challenges I'm facing need a warrior. The challenges I'm facing needs a soldier man. The same way the Jews, the disciples were thinking during the Roman era. But he came as a lamb. And so into the presence of God, the Bible says that God has sworn that God cannot lie. By two immutable things, God was going to fulfill his promise. Then at the end, he now ends with the Lord just being a forerunner. And he talks about him being a high priest and sitting at the right hand of God. You might be wondering, my promise has to be fulfilled. He needs a warrior. He needs a jagatari, bobobozontariwa. You hear that kind of voice. But he talks about a high priest. Why is it the priestly function that was emphasized there? Because let me tell you, for you to experience and have an anchor for the soul, for you to see and experience the promises of God, you need a high priest that will pray for you. You need a high priest that has performed the essential sacrifices, because without the blood, there is no what? Remission of sins. If we retain our sins, if we confess our sins, is what? Faithful and just to forgive us. He who retains his sins, God cannot hear him. Are we together? So the first thing, and observe, when Abraham, the first place that high priestly ministry was mentioned in the Bible was the time of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. After Abraham had fought, the Bible says he brought tithes of all, and Melchizedek blessed him. The blessing and the promise only came through the priestly ministry, through the priest of Melchizedek. Do you understand? Through the priest as Melchizedek. So he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ? So sometimes when you think God should move with braggado and this warrior mentality, then he's emphasizing priestly function. He's emphasizing priesthood. And he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ? See the blood talking there. Who through the what? Eternal Spirit. See the Spirit there. Offered himself, that's the word, without spot to God. Purge your conscience from what? Dead works to what? Serve the living God. The three things you need to be able to enter where the Lord just has made a way into, for you to be able to experience the reality of these things, these promises, that will be an anchor for your soul in every area, is through the blood, through the word, through the Holy Spirit, into that place where he is. He's in the throne room. He's waiting for you. He said that we should come. Come boldly, what? To the throne of grace. Then we obtain mercy and find grace for help in time of need. So every time you're having a challenge, it's a time of need. A time of need like Lot. A time of need like Joseph. A time of need, be it small things, be it big things. A time of need as an anchor for your soul. Small challenges, big challenges. What do I need to use? I need to use the blood of Jesus to cleanse my heart so I can stand upright boldly before him, so I can continue in right doing. I need the word of God so I can even know the promises and even the challenges that people went through and the solutions and what acted as an anchor for their soul in those challenges. I need the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that is the spirit of hope. It's the Holy Spirit that is going to help me see the reality and reveal these things to me. All these things I've said, is the Holy Spirit that has said it to me. Now, Jesus is to encourage me, to encourage you. And I'm not going to go out of those three, what do they call it now? Three unlocking keys, as we can say. We're still going to use them. You can say, to even walk in your hope, to know the hope, to have the anchor for your soul, is still the blood. Because the person that is the anchor for your soul is in the most holy place. And it's only by his blood that we can come there. The person that is the anchor for your soul, he himself is the living word. And is that word that you're carrying on your phone and carrying on your lap, either hard copy or soft copy? You need the Holy Spirit, because the only person that can unveil and make the word a reality and open your eyes to these things is the person of the Holy Spirit as you pray in tongues. There is no going back. There's no way around it. So end with that spirit. Romans 8, 23 to 25. I will stop there. Romans 8, 23 to 25. The emphasis in my heart is again the Bible reading. Because you see, I'm speaking from experience. And I know when challenges come. And on a daily basis, you're praying. You've prayed in the Spirit. And then when you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit will make, it might just be one word. See, there might be things I want to hide. I might say, I can never say, has God forgotten me? But even David said, has God forgotten me? You now say, "Oh God, have you forgotten me?" When you now read the rest of the verse, you now see the answer. You now say, "Oh, yes, yes, I see the answer, Ah, God has not forgotten me, I might not tell Ayofe that has God forgotten me. You know, I might see my Ayofe, Pastor Lawley is my pastor. He never thinks like that kind of thing, or never faces those challenges. But you see, it's in the word of God that relates with my heart. And God knows the frequency. Come boldly before the throne of grace, that may obtain mercy. If I have sin in my heart, God won't be able to talk to me. So that's where the blood comes. And the blood also helps me to continue to live in righteousness, to continue from 30% to 60% to 100% righteousness. Are we together? And you know how your computer loads. You know, so you're improving. And then the challenges that you have, that you might be able to talk to people in the word, you will see it. And you can't lie. You can't lie to God, because everything is naked before him. That's why you need the word. Of course, and that's where the Holy Spirit has come in, because I've prayed in the Spirit. So he's able to talk to me. He's able to reveal things to me. Because his truth. Do you understand? The spirit of truth. And this Holy Spirit is truth. And the word is truth. And because I've bowed my heart and bowed my head to read the word, the Holy Spirit can teach me and guide me to all truth. Oh boy, this challenge you are facing, be honest about it. You are saying, has God forgotten me? But right below it, it says, hope in the Lord your God. Trust in him, for he hasn't forgotten you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is reality, and that is practicability of these things that we preach. Nothing apart from it can excite you. But when you bring your challenges boldly before the throne of grace by the blood of the Lamb, by studying the word and reading the word, sometimes I read it mentally, but I don't get anything. God will say, open your mouth, read it. Then when I'm reading it out, I begin to see some things. See, this thing doesn't take 1 hour. You might think that, Pastor Lawley, you're a pastor, you have all the time. Don't go and shipwreck your life, oh. It's 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You better do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do it. Nobody will do it for you. Get rough and tumble with this thing. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues every day to become more like Jesus. Pray in tongues about your finances. Pray in tongues about relationship. Pray in tongues about the issue of marriage. Pray in tongues. Pray about it. Start praying about it. Pray about those challenges. Bring them before God. God has made an oath. Bring them before God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience what? Wait for it. Let's bow our heads as we pray. The forerunner is in the most holy place. He's the king. He's the priest. He's the one that has made an oath that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's one that has told you that he cares for you. He's one that says he has tattooed you upon the palm of his hands. He's king and priest. And so by his blood you come before him. He has gone through all these challenges and he has the solution. He's the living word. In him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The scriptures testify of him. All the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. They are wrapped up in him. And he has guaranteed you by an oath that he's going to fulfill it. That you'll become more like him. Yokes and habits are going to break. Life, light, love, and truth is going to flow. And he has the power of the Spirit to unveil those things, to strengthen your anchor, so your anchor always hits the rock, hits the depth. Deep calls to deep. Praying in the Spirit will help you to hit deep. Praying deep in the Spirit helps you to hit deep in the Word, deep in the promises, deep of the truth, depths of the truth. And that's how it works, guys. Thank you, Father. Let's just bow our heads and pray together. I want you to put one hand on your heart and raise one hand up. I want you to talk to God personally first. You know the challenges. Like Lot, God is able to save the righteous and deliver. Like Joseph, God is able to keep you and fulfill the promise. Like David, the challenges, God is able to save you to the uttermost. Hope in him, trust in him. And build a relationship with him by the blood. The blood will help you to cleanse your sins from all unrighteousness. The blood will help you to increase from 30% to 60% righteousness to 100%. It will always keep you clean. The word will always remind you of his promises in Christ that are yea and amen. The promise that you can become more like him. The promise of health, of wealth. The promise of finance. The promise in concerning marriage. And all these things wrapped up in him. You know, there might be a waiting time, but you continue to have that. It will hold you. And when the challenges come, the anchor is by this blood word and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Deep will call unto deep. The depth of wisdom, depth of revelation, depth of comfort. When people are saying there's a casting down, you'll be saying there's a lifting up. They will think you are crazy. But it's fine. It's good to be crazy for Jesus. And stick with the truth. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that we've heard. The anchor for our souls is Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for the life of your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I pray for more mercy and grace to use my anchor, to use my anchor, to use this anchor of my soul, the person of the Lord Jesus, who by his blood, who by his life, and by his Spirit is purging me, is making me clean, is making me holy, is giving me wisdom, is giving me strength, is giving me power, giving me an anchor for my soul in every circumstance, in every situation, as I grow on to become more like him, to the praise and glory of his name. Let's pray in the Spirit. In every circumstance and situation, of our wills, upon our minds, upon our emotions, anchor for our souls, by your blood, by your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, concern every matter, in the soul, in the physical body, in our circumstances, thank you for the anchor for the soul. Thank you, Lord Holy. Holy Spirit, for helping Mashiach Kata. You are the helper and the strength. Thank you, Merekaya Kadoria, as you guide us into all truth and resiki. We give the praise, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. We worship you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We say, Father, we confess our spirits on the heavens and the earth, that we've accomplished this time of prayers concern our lives, concern this anchor for our soul. We destroy your works, we resist, we bind you, and we lose the angels to minister for us in every area concerning having Christ as an anchor for the soul in every circumstance and situation, to be able to fulfill purpose and destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you.